Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we just got done watching Season 6, Episode 1, The Red Woman.
More like The Old Woman, am I right?
Of what consequence is that?
Beast of... So, first of all, lots to talk about in a spoiler podcast.
Right,
what'd
you think?
On Friday. I can't talk about a lot of this stuff right now. One word, thrilling. It's thrilling to go into a Game of Thrones and not know what the fuck is going on, and it's okay. Kind of awesome.
All right. That's my default state, but sure.
I know, and I'm digging it. I'm really digging it. It's been, like, you know, many, many seasons since I've had that feeling before. And everything felt right. Like, as I was watching, like, Cersei receive Jaime and King's Landing, I'm like, should she be more pissed off? Should she be mad at Jaime? But, like, everything just felt right.
It did, yeah.
Nothing
I think
fell out of place.
Everything as cool as they could.
I mean, there's lots of mind, like Prince Doran getting shivved in, like, from the get-go. Yeah,
what
shocking.
What a heinous waste of a great actor. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Well, you get like 5 scenes with him, grand total.
It really is pretty bad.
It's really, really sucks. I was looking
and
forward
his son,
to him
like
being
that
a
whole plot just being wrapped up and boom, gone.
Yeah.
Now, Dorne's not done being a power. It's
sure,
just completely
yeah.
The management has been turned over. It's amazing.
Right. And we're down to Bashir.
We are.
Can I just say, yes, it did feel right, but it also felt rote. It kind of... There wasn't anything aside from that one thing that happened in Dorne that was unexpected or that was really exciting. It was more just kind of...
Really?
Set up, you know? I mean, and it's...
You're right. It did set up, like, the next episode to be awesome.
Yeah. Which I'm not angry about that.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying it's bad. They've got to do it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's the beginning of the season, so I expect a little bit of that.
Yeah.
It just... I was kind of looking for the thrill, and I guess if, you know, the Dorne stuff and old woman Melisandre doesn't do it for you, then...
Yeah, that's the thing.
Then there's nothing to offer in this episode, right?
No, I don't know. I like it. I like the fact that there's like a siege within Castle Black.
Whatever the fuck Daenerys is. Where is she? Marine.
Yeah, yeah.
In Marine?
There's a siege there?
Well, there's an attack on the boats.
That's right.
They burnt the shit out of all
the boats.
That's
the other shocking thing is because I was thinking the whole time, I was like, okay, she's got 100 ships. That's enough to invade Westeros. We're going to finally get around to invading Westeros. Like, we just have to get Cersei. I'm sorry. Good God. We have to get Daenerys back. And
they
we're
don't
good.
Want Cersei.
We're, no. And we're good to go. And then the boats burn. I'm like, well, son of a bitch.
Yeah. How are they going to get back over the water?
I don't know.
They can't all ride dragons. I know Tyrion's claimed one. Daenerys has got the other. Who gets the third dragon? Who rides it into King's Landing?
I don't know. It's
Jorah?
I've got some theories and stuff. But no, I mean, where did she get her ships? Why did she get her ships a few seasons back? Like, I don't... It seems like a lot of this walked back a lot of progress from previous seasons. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Because you still have, you know, what the hell's going on with Jon Snow. You got what the hell's going on with Arya. I loved how they left things with Sansa and Brienne.
Right. Yeah. They've hooked up. This time, it seems.
Yeah. I feel like, okay, we've got, with this group of people, Sansa should be safe.
Yeah.
These are people that are only... their only interest in her is in making sure that she's safe and protected.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Like, and I thought it was badass, like, Brienne taking down those guys. I thought Pod being able to take one down was pretty awesome.
I thought the best part of that scene was actually when Theon says, go north. Go north, Jon is at the wall. He'll help you.
Right.
We know that's not true. And I'm thinking, oh my God, he just sent her on a suicide mission.
Yeah, yeah.
And then... Luckily, Brienne's there. They get stopped.
I knew that was going to happen the second she rode up. Now, so I guess RIP the theory that Stannis is still alive. Because it's hard to believe she spares him and allows him to slink off.
Right.
Like, I feel like he would be in her custody.
Yeah, yeah. And I never bought that.
Okay.
People love to speculate on that one. That was not one I bought.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
They still are going to worry about hypothermia, right? I mean, they could set a fire, I guess, but...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, again, now, she's safe. Like, there's nothing stopping them from starting a fire. Or from Brienne taking her up on
I
her
feel
saddle,
like
riding... they're
pretty close to...
They need to get the fuck out of the immediate Dodge, but, you know...
They don't want
to
send up smoke signals for their location, but...
You know,
other than that...
I'm not saying you should do anything untoward to Sansa, but, you know... I imagine he can generate 98.6 degrees to keep her warm.
Right. Slice him open like a tauntaun. Just
crawl inside the pod.
Right.
Sure.
What other things happened? I really do like the reaction from Cersei when Jaime comes back and Marcella's dead. And Jaime's vows, you know? Like, you know what? We're going to find those people. We're going to
take
everything.
It all. Yeah.
We're going to take it all. That has me excited. I think an angry... Jamie out for blood is a good Jamie.
I thought
on this show.
I thought Cersei's going to be in full like claws face off mode, but I thought the way the prophecy with the witch that she's like, of course this is going to happen. She's kind of almost defeated, and Jamie puts a little bit of the fire back into her.
She has control over this prophecy. I don't understand why they don't just give her a silver shroud and be done with the whole prophecy bullshit, right? Like, oh, clearly it's wrong.
Well, that's the thing. When I thought that was a nice touch when they came home in the boats and she's literally wearing a golden shroud. You can
see
Cersei,
like,
losing her shit.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. What did you think of Margaery being locked up in the Sparrow Keep? She's wanting
Where
to see her brother.
Yeah. I mean,
it felt like as weird as, like, a bad cop, good cop, a bad Sparrow, good Sparrow going on with Septon Ulna or whatever her name is.
Yeah.
What do you think his game is? Like, what is... Why... here's the thing where I think the Sparrow is fucking up. Margaery's a very popular queen. Like, the other Lannister household is kind of radioactive right now, but she's their Princess Di. She's the one that's, like, super popular.
Yeah.
Even though the part of the family might not be as good. Do you think he's fucking up by holding her hostage and letting Cersei go?
Maybe.
Because, like...
I think he definitely fucked up letting Cersei go.
I mean, the only power he has is because the people support him.
Right.
And he holds this, like, I don't know how long he can hold this queen and just say, confess if she says, I didn't do anything. I'm the beloved queen of the very, you know, I feel like Tommen, you know, maybe people are ready to give him a clean slate.
Right, and the longer she sits there, I mean, the longer... The more angry the people probably get, you're right. I think they like her.
Because, like, yeah, why are you holding her?
As soon as Cersei decides, well, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to get her out, then she gets back on the good side of the people, at least a little bit,
and
right?
And maybe Tommen, too.
Right.
Because they're kind of on the outs as well.
He might be making a huge mistake. I feel like the Sparrow's going to have some trouble coming his way. Jaime's angry. Surely he heard about the treatment that she got while he was gone.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to stand for that.
Yeah. No, and there's a couple other things I was thinking of, too. Like, the way that things ended up with, Daenerys. I want to talk about Jorah.
Right.
And
Dario. Yep.
Dario Nyquilus. But, yeah, I want to talk about all of that stuff. I was glad that they got Daenerys into a holding pattern where she wasn't constantly under the threat of death or rape.
Okay.
Because I'm like, man, I don't know how many episodes I can watch the
right, Khaleesi. Talk about her pussy hairs. It's not.
Yeah, it's not. It's not a good
look. Something I
want to
hear.
No. And like, it's also something like her character at this point is so regal and powerful that I don't know how often you can have a character just be brought down low and be devastated and be, you know, degraded and still like, okay, yeah, there's still a viable, like, heroic character. Like, at some point, right. Like, Theon, like, is he going to be able to claw his way back into our good graces? Let me ask you that. How do you feel about Theon right now?
I don't have any ill will towards Theon, honestly. Like,
That's amazing to me.
Is it?
He arguably is the reason that Rob lost the war in large part.
How long ago are we talking? Because
I'm saying, like, his entire history, the fact that people are already ready to be like, oh yeah, Theon, he's all right by me, is amazing to me.
But Theon has been so beaten down. I mean, like,
I know
you can't be taken any lower than Theon was.
But I'm saying, like, I remember in season 3 debating about have they gone too far. I feel like they went exactly because everyone is ready to. I feel like everyone is ready to, like, okay, bring it in, Theon. We're ready to forgive you. Let's get a hug.
Right. You don't think that's warranted, given how much shit he's endured?
How much shit can one personally endure that will make all of the suffering of the Northmen and the Northwomen right? Do you know?
About as much as Theon has. About okay. as much as that walk from Cersei. Like, even last season when Cersei was having that walk, I was like, I don't like Cersei, but...
You know,
damn, this is not really cool. This is not awesome, guys.
I know. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just amazed at how, like, you know, Jaime can shove kids out of buildings.
Right.
Theon can be complicit in the murder of children to cover up the fact that he couldn't murder other children.
Right.
And Cersei can be Cersei, and we are, in season 6, ready to...
Hey, man.
I give them all happy endings.
Everyone should get a second chance, right?
Sure. If you lose all of your genitals, that's like...
That's one chance for every genital you lose.
Yeah, it's like getting a green mushroom in Mario World. It's like, okay, you get a second chance. I don't know. I don't know, because I'm not... I feel like I feel that way, too, but it's just kind of amazing that some of these complete shitheel characters can get the redemption by just suffering.
It is. Now, here's the thing. If they try to redeem Ramsay Bolton, I'm going to fucking revolt. There is no redeemable, like,
give him three
take
seasons,
off his
apparently,
dick. I don't,
Jim.
Like, I don't care. Send him to the Dothrakis. Let them do what they're going to do to him. It doesn't matter.
You're right, because none of it
doesn't matter. He's horrible.
Because Ramsay is fundamentally, he's willfully evil.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Theon was, you know, pig-headed, and then he was, like, ashamed and afraid, you know, shocked by his family's reaction to him. And he's also very young. Like, that's, like, I can't say, well, Jon Snow, you're stupid, because you're a teenager, and so is Rob Snow, and so is Sansa, but I don't know.
Ramsay, I think, is too, right?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not trying to cast any
sympathy. But that's like Joffrey.
Toward
Joffrey's, like, he's, like, too far gone. He's a mad dog, he needs to be put down.
No, I don't think they could have done anything with Joffrey to make me feel bad for him. I cheered when he died, so I would probably do the same with Ramsay.
Yeah.
But Theon, Cersei, I'm going to let them off the hook a little bit.
Okay. All right. What else is there to talk about?
So the brothers up north, the wall, Castle Black, the shit's going down there. Millie gets old.
I like how they reintroduce this plot to us. It's like this long, it's extreme zoom out, and they pull into, like, Jon Snow's corpse there, and Ghost is baying in the background. It's a nice scene setting.
Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
We've got lots of ongoing coverage this week, from book versus show comparisons for Hot D to the latest very special episode of Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car? But there are a couple of main events this week you need to know about.
Firstly, we've got a brand new commission podcast out this Tuesday covering the Raid 2, sometimes subtitled Retaliation. If you're a fan of martial arts films, this is one you don't want to miss. Iko Uwe is a rising star in the action movie world, and it's easy to see why. Join us on Tuesday as we dive into the bigger, badder sequel to The Raid, try and figure out which is better.
Then on Thursday, we're covering the season finale of Hulu's excellent period drama, Shogun. We've been waiting all season to see what Toranaga-sama's plan is, or if he even has one. It all comes down to this, and we couldn't be more excited. Join us on Thursday for what's sure to be an epic Shogun season finale podcast, and to find out if we plan to cover any related materials.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
Hey, it's time for another season of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? The premise is simple. A Gen Xer and a millennial watch old 80s action TV to see what still works and what doesn't. In previous seasons, we've done podcasts for Knight Rider, Airwolf, MacGyver, A-Team, and more. However, this year we're doing a very special season of Feeny. We're going back and reviewing the very special episodes of 80s and 90s sitcoms. Come cringe along with us as Hollywood tries to warn our families of the dangers of underage smoking, drug abuse, alcoholism, eating disorders, and much more. We start out with the episode of Boy Meets World where a high school kid gets sucked into a cult. Worlds collide as the Mr. Feeny finally makes an appearance on Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Join me and my buddy Jay each week for episodes full of nostalgia and secondhand embarrassment. And don't worry, the very special isn't your speed. We've also got some all-time classic Knight Rider episodes to close the season with. Find Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Each Wednesday on Bald Move Pulp, starting April 3rd.
And I'll honestly, I thought they were set up for a cliffhanger to where, like, you know, who killed Jon Snow? The Night Watch killed Jon Snow. It's like, we all killed Jon Snow. But then when, you know, Sir Guyliner, what's his name?
Alistair Thorne. Yeah.
When he, like, just stood up and owned it, I'm like, oh, wow. And there was like a little bit of a civil war between the Black Brothers.
There was, yeah. You're a traitor, all this shit. Can we just say Alistair Thorne might be the best, like, hair metal name ever?
Sure.
Can you imagine?
Sure, yeah. He's on lead guitar.
Yeah. Alistair Thorne.
Shredding.
So the thing I like is, the Davos and his dudes are in the room. Just hold up, not willing to come out for fear of being killed.
And Ed gets sent to go fetch.
Right, that's what
the
I
Wild
like.
Thing. And I also, this is maybe a book reader thing, but the fact that he got called Dolores Ed, which is kind of his nickname in the books. He's like the one of the Black Brothers when they send him out. Is like, oh my God, how far have we fallen that our hopes all rest with Dolores Ed? Made me feel.
Is that
real
the
good.
Stringy haired?
Yeah, yeah.
John Snow's
he's the malcontent
buddy.
That got sent out to go get the wildlings.
Okay, yeah. So that's what he's out to do.
What'd
I didn't know that
that
was super clear. I thought he was there. He was going
to
go out and talk to the other brothers who were like, you're a fucking traitor to Alistair
Thorne
and try and rally the troops a bit.
I mean, my interpretation was that he's going out to get the wildlings. Like, who else owes their life to Jon Snow? Well, every one of the wildlings do.
Sure. Okay. That makes sense. So, yeah, that'll be interesting when they come on back. If they come on back, I don't know.
Hmm.
Some interesting stuff in the previews that we'll
probably
talk about.
You think Tormund is the kind of guy to leave... a guy like Jon Snow murdered with no vengeance?
Eh, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know much about Tormund, honestly.
I honestly think there's a lot riding on the scene where they convince them to come back to fight for Jon Snow, because that's a really touchy political situation.
Do you think the kind of minor character that we've seen of Ed, he said that's his name?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know his fucking name.
Yep.
Do you think he's capable of it? Of giving the rallying speech like Jon Snow was?
Well, so I'm hoping that he gives just enough to Tormund that Tormund can then rally his people.
Right.
It's all about selling Tormund, I think, at this
point.
And
Tormund did a great job up at Hardhome. So
yeah.
I would buy it. If he can just say, like, Jon Snow was killed by the Black Brothers and you need to
idea is we need to man the wall. Because, this evil force is coming down. Nothing is going to stand in their way. No one south can help us. There's a couple of, half dozen.
And they've
dozen,
seen it firsthand. So
right.
It's
and
like,
there's a couple dozen fuckers up at the wall that turned traitor and killed the guy who was the only one that saw reason. Like, it would be kind of awesome to be like the wildlings have to man the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know
they just go up and
we know all of the Black Brothers combined can't keep a whole watch on the length of it. So
right, and I think they said there were 40 of them up there, and yeah, like half of them are in that room at this point. So it's like a civil war up there. It'd be cool to see them, the Wildlings, come back up.
Yeah,
really, and probably kill Alistair. Like, I can't imagine if there's a battle that Alistair survives that, unless they win the battle, the Black Brothers.
I don't know. It's really easy to see. Because I do believe when he said, my whole life is for the watch, and it means everything to me. I think that's genuine. So I think there's a lot of room for him to be redeemed. Whether or not he does, like, you know, there's a lot of people in this world that deserve to live, and a lot more people that deserve to die, and they're dead and living respectively, so.
Right. I don't know.
Do you want to talk about Arya a little bit?
Okay, she gets her ass kicked episode.
The waif is what I'm calling her.
The threat of another one tomorrow.
Yeah, she's coming up to give her... Is this just basically training, like throwing you in the deep end? You're going to get a beating until you learn to not get a beating.
Yeah, I mean, this is... I don't know. This is Star Wars, right? I'm going to get shocked by this probe droid.
You
got to
wear the blast shield. Yeah. Yep.
Essentially.
It's all a bunch of hokey religions.
Right. It's Bloodsport? Bloodsport, is that the one where he gets blinded?
Yes, yes, actually he does.
Yes, okay.
JVC. JVCD?
Yeah.
JCVD. I got my consonants all mixed up.
I don't know. That could be interesting.
That's kind of just like, remember, were you surprised no mention of Bran? I was really, since we didn't see him all last season, I was really expecting...
Yeah.
In fact, when we were kind of like creeping in on the Jon Snow reveal, and it was like kind of a ice wall and like swirling, and I thought for sure that we were going to open up with Bran. I was kind of shocked that we didn't see hide nor hair of him.
Yeah. At some point, I thought, like, when Sansa goes and gets tucked into that little tree there, I was thinking, oh, is this one of those like tree holes that Bran's in, and there's going to be some old guy in it, and Bran's going to communicate with her? Or some shit.
Yeah,
like,
you're all hyped for the for Bran to be reaching out and touching people with the trees.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know. I just, yeah, it surprises me. We haven't seen Bran in over a season now.
Did he get all the way through season one or episode one of season six and no Bran sighting.
Yeah.
Wonder what they're waiting for. Like, to me, not showing him in this first season says that his first appearance is going to be kind of epic. Or maybe that'll be Bran-centric. They're saving for a Bran-centric episode.
We're about 10 weeks out from House of the Dragon Season 2, and it's time to prepare for war.
Which in our case means, well, watching a lot of Hot D and reading a lot of Fire and Blood.
Each week between now and June 16th, Maester Anthony and his co-host Steve are hosting a watch of each episode of Hot D Season 1. And then me and Jim are going to host a discussion of the differences between the events on that episode and how they're recounted in George R.R. Martin's historical tome, Fire and Blood.
That's right, I've resorted to reading dragon books. God help us all. We'll see if my fresh eyes add any new insights or predictions into season 2.
Arm yourselves with all the lore you can for the battles ahead. House of the Dragon returns June 16th, but we've got you covered until then.
Check out all of our upcoming Hot D coverage on the Hot D feed or on Bald Move Pulp, available wherever you listen to podcasts. FX is adapting James Clavell's best-selling novel, Shogun, into a 10-part miniseries this spring. Set in the shogunate period of Japan at the turn of the 15th century, Shogun depicts the rise of a feudal lord to Shogun, as seen through the eyes of a shipwrecked English sailor. It's loosely based on the real-life exploits of William Adams and Tokugawa Ieyasu.
Shogun has already been successfully adapted back in 1980 with a widely acclaimed miniseries starring Richard Chamberlain, featuring intricate plots, political scheming, complex characters, and thrilling action. This time, husband and wife team Justin Marks and Rachel Kondo try to recapture the successes of the novel and early adaptations while increasing the levels of historical and cultural accuracy that are often perceived as flaws of this and similar works.
Starring Hiroyuki Sanada from The Last Samurai, Mortal Kombat, and John Wick 4, with Cosmo Jarvis of Peaky Blinders, Raised by Wolves, etc., joining the truly massive cast required to bring this complex world to life. Join Aaron and I each week as we deep dive into each episode, uncovering the mysteries, the intrigue, and the glory of Shogun.
Shogun premieres on FX Hulu Tuesday, February 27th with a two-part debut. Our podcast will release each Thursday thereafter. Get our Shogun coverage by searching for Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
Let's go over to Melisandre real quick.
Okay, sure.
She turns old at the end of this. Old as fuck.
Crazy.
Why does she do this?
I don't know. What do you think?
I feel like she's powering up. She's powering down to power up.
Yeah, so like whatever power she's spending on looking young and beautiful,
yeah,
she is relinquishing.
I think. Or her looking young and beautiful might have to do with that necklace. I'm not sure. Because like as soon as she takes that off, she becomes old.
And then it's like the red jewel kind of flared as she took it off. So is that the source of her power? Or is that the thing that focuses her power and she's trying to save it up by sleeping? Do you think...
Right.
I mean, yeah, like does she sleep au naturel every night? Does she
I don't know.
Go to bed an old crone?
It's a good question.
There's a lot of questions, and that's going to be fun in the spoiler section because, like I mentioned in last week, the tinfoil segment's going to turn towards what do we see this week that proves some of the tinfoil or disproves some of the tinfoil. And I think we got a lot of interesting peaks this week. It's going to be a rock and rolling section here at Game of Thrones at baldmove.com. We've also got two forum threads up, one spoiler and one non-spoiler. Please. Keep those into their own little playpens at forums.baldmove.com.
I think we did make a prediction about Jon Snow.
What was that?
Would he come back to life?
Well, we said...
Like, first episode.
We're thinking...
We don't know if he's going to or not.
Our over-under was 3, and so far we're looking pretty good.
I think at this point we're both on the Jon Snow is going to come back to life train.
Yeah.
I kept up the facade for as long as I can.
Well, plus the fact that Davos is basically looking at the Red Lady and saying, line.
Right.
Line. At this point, there's definitely connections to be made there.
Yeah.
But it's, again, this is super cool because this is all, so much of this episode is so far past the books. And that's what was really interesting to see.
Okay.
Or deviate, like very far deviations from the book. So there's hardly anything that was like just according to Hoyle.
Sure.
But yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I was actually surprised with the Dario and the Jorah scenes. I was surprised to see Dario kind of let Jorah take point. Like Jorah was always the one getting off his horse and investigating, and he was kind of deferential. Even when they were doing their kind of sparring about the relationship, I thought that Dario wasn't going for the heart like he could. I fucked your queen,
sure. He was like, does it make you mad to
you've lived to see the day she conquered my loins? It happened many a time when you were gone. He was really being kind of cool about it.
He was, yeah. And I think Jorah recognized it. He's
and like, I think that right, the, when they both said I want to live to see her conquer the world, and he says so do I thought that was like maybe a bonding moment that they're like, okay, we want different things, but we are on the same side. And also maybe Jorah's saying, realizing there's no way he's going to get what he wants.
Yeah, I mean, he can't at this. Well, as far as I know, he can't. I don't think there's any cure for... As far as I know,
and the grayscale,
you can stave off grayscale from covering your face and shit, but you can't stop it.
What was your impression of it spreading? Were you surprised? Because it went from a postage stamp to a 5x7 area or entire forearm area?
It's tough for me to tell. So one of the Sand Snakes has much longer hair than she had last season.
Okay.
The youngest one, whatever her name is, the one who stabs.
The one with the bad Pusse.
The Bashir's guard in the back.
Yep.
Her hair is longer. So I assumed the trip across the sea is probably going to take maybe a week, maybe two, maybe
that's
three.
That's true.
A lot of time could have gone on.
But the time stream is kind of fucked.
Yeah. But in those other scenes, I'm like, well, clearly no time has passed. So I have no fucking idea where time is on any given scene.
I think it's very relative in the Einstein sense.
Yeah.
We're all kind of in the present day. There's not a lot of... I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if people could go and come up with a coherent timeline. Because you're right. Everything in Castle Black is obviously happening this same day.
Yes.
But we don't know when Myrcella got killed, and we don't know when Jaime, like, that's all kind of
and,
up in the air.
Right, and obviously Jaime can't get back in the same day. It's impossible. Yeah. So we know they're jumping around in time. I just don't, I can't keep track of it anymore.
And I don't I feel like it's, they're playing fast and loose with it, to kind of almost say, like, there's not much reward in trying to figure this out.
Right.
Like, this is all happening at roughly the same time, and roughly the places we're describing it, but it's...
So who knows? I think the mission to find Daenerys is going to be interesting. Yeah. Because you know they're going to track her back, and you know they're going to go, oh my god, she's been sent to the fucking widow's camp. We got to go there now.
But she's relatively safe there. The fact that she's
absolutely
not going to be harmed, you know, that's not
but
where
she won't be let go.
She won't be let go, but you know what she's got? She's got a big, fat, black dragon.
She does have that.
Waiting outside that feels some kind of familial bond to her. That's, you know, like, if you put all the Cal widows against that, I'm not betting on the Cal widows.
Right.
You know, I'm betting on the dragon.
I'm with you. Okay, well, I think we're going to have a lot more to say about this episode, but let's save it for
the
full cast.
It's been a while since I felt the real lash, the full lash of the mailbag. Oh. I feel like it's going to come storming back this week.
Good luck.
But yeah, Game of Thrones at baldmove.com. I can't wait. I can't wait. Bring it on. And forums.baldmove.com. I just wanted to mention that we've got the club at club.baldmove.com. The fastest way to get instant takes or any of our podcasts, you can actually watch us record them live.
That's right.
You can get ad-free feeds, so you don't have to hear me beg for money anymore. We're going to be playing the last installment of the Telltale Game of Thrones. We're going to wrap that up during the club. We're going to release that as exclusive bonus content. We got free podcasts. We got a ton of stuff.
Got another surprise plan, but
it's as little as a buck a month. You sign up for a year, it's a buck a month. You go month to month, it's $2 a month. Pretty good deal for everything you get. Check it out at club.baldmove.com if that's something you're interested in. Because the other thing is, the only way you're getting these instant casts and the full coverage podcast and the spoiler podcast is because we are doing this as free, independent, paid podcasters. So if you see value in that, please help support us at club.baldmove.com.
All right. We'll see you guys on Tuesday. Until then, I'm James.
I'm Aaron. See ya.